Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. This program is a collaboration between KWBU and Creative Waco, where we sit down with creative leaders in our city. Today, we'll chat with Samuel Thomas, who's a co-founder of Deep in the Heart Film Festival, which is gearing up for its third year at the end of March. Later in the show, you'll hear David and Art with David Smith. First, let's kick things off with Creative Waco Executive Director Fiona Bond and Director of Marketing and Communications, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for being here, guys.
Hi, thanks.
Ray. Thank you.
So today, we're here to share about some of the tools that we use to find creative things to do in Waco. I think for a lot of people living here, if you don't know where to look, it can be kind of tough to figure out what you're going to do on a Friday night or with your weekends. So Fiona, do you want to just kind of start us off with some of your thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. And we get asked all the time, is there a single calendar that has all the cool stuff there is to do in Waco? And the answer really is sort of. We certainly have some great calendars, but actually research shows that that is not really the way that people find out about events, or at least it's not the way people choose what they're actually going to do. Increasingly, people choose what they're going to do based on recommendations of friends and kind of trust factors as well. So one of the things that we try to do at Creative Waco is to give people pointers as to where they can find out about things. And where you trust, the kind of sources of information you trust, depend on who you are, how old you are, what kind of things you enjoy doing, what kind of art form you might be looking for. We are all different. None of us are cookie cutter in terms of our preferences. And so, you know, I think it's actually relatively easy now to find out what's going on in Waco, but you just kind of need to know where to look.
Kennedy, can you tell us, you know, as a young adult and also somebody who's moved back to Waco not too long ago, how has it been for you finding things to do here?
So since I've been in Waco probably about 6 months now, but I'm just now starting to get back into the groove of everything that Waco's offering. I've been at home a lot, but as I try to branch out more, my main way that I find things is via Instagram,
Okay. Which
is pretty interesting. Like, since I started with Creative Waco and, you know, scrolling our Instagram feed, I found so many different organizations like Events Waco. They have First Fridays, and that's kind of where I found most of the things that are going on this weekend. I kind of use Facebook here and there, but Facebook does have the app, Facebook Local, which is a great way to connect and see what kind of events your friends are interested in. And it's been a great resource since we found out about it maybe a week or two ago. Like, six people have stopped us and said, hey, do you guys use the Facebook Local app? So it seems like it's a very popular app to use to find out what's going on.
It's blowing up right now.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting, just the, as you guys have both mentioned, the fact that people are more likely to do something if they see that other people they know are doing it. Because I think about myself, anytime I'm on Facebook and see an event that's happening, I almost always go to the interested in going section to see if anybody I know is going. And depending on who's there, I'm like, oh, this is obviously a cool event if so-and-so's going.
Right.
So Fiona, can you tell us just a little bit about some of the calendars that we do have here and how to make those work harder for us and, you know, not necessarily make any more calendars or anything like that?
Yes, absolutely. We have some really great calendars. And, you know, I don't think we can talk about them often enough because it really is a great way of finding out the basics. And honestly, if you're plugged into the calendars that we have in Waco, then you become the person that all your friends look to for knowing what's going on. And, you know, that's kind of a cool thing to be able to do. So on our Creative Waco website, we actually have a page called Calendars. And that page has all of the calendars that we know are pretty comprehensive about stuff going on. And a little explanation, there's a link to each of those calendars and a little explanation about who they're targeted at and what kind of information they hold. So we know, obviously, on KWBU, we know about Act Locally Waco. Mm-hmm. Ashley does a fabulous job of giving us information about how to be plugged in citizens and find out about things that are not necessarily visitor-facing, but are community-facing, things that people who live in Waco want to do. But then, of course, the CVB, the Convention and Visitor Bureau, has a fabulous calendar which is specifically targeted at visitors. But there's no reason that locals wouldn't want to find out about that stuff too. So
sure.
Everything from the symphony to theatre shows to festivals, you know, all those kinds of things that visitors are likely to want to do are on that calendar. And it's also reinforced by an app. So if you didn't know, there is literally an app for finding out what's going on in Waco. It's if you look up Waco TX on the App Store, then it's right there. Download it. And it's it gives you a kind of a way into everything from restaurants to go to live music, to calendar events, all kinds of things.
Awesome. And I believe the app is available for iPhone and Android, right?
Yes. And it's free.
Cool. Yeah, that app is really great for, and I've heard quite a few people say this, but you know, if you can't find somewhere to eat or you can't think of somewhere, just pull that up and it'll help you.
Right. And you can actually, you can parse it by your preferences. So you can have it constantly up on live music or, I don't know, Thai restaurants, whatever it is that you really like.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I did also want to give just a few recommendations that I myself have used for college students and young adults. I found that WacoBound.com is a really great website. It's basically kind of a blog site that curates events, businesses, and entertainment that younger audiences would enjoy. So Kennedy, if you haven't checked that out, you might find some stuff to do there.
I will.
They have lists of brunches or brunch spots. So, you know, if you are a social media user, as we've mentioned, Facebook Events is a really great way to find out about things that are going on. The Facebook Local app, as well as following specific venues here in Waco. So, you know, we have a few different places that play music, such as The Backyard, which is a bar and grill, Cultivate 712, which is an art gallery in downtown Waco. And, you know, of course, places like Waco Civic Theater or the Waco Symphony, they'll have regular listings of things that are going on.
I want to give a shout out too to the Trib, because Carl Hoover, who covers the arts and cultural sector in the Trib, does a fantastic job of making sure that live music events and all those kinds of things are on the radar. So that is another really wonderful source.
And then, of course, there are some local blogs, which we've mentioned, Act Locally Waco, Downtown Waco, which is a curation of events specifically in downtown. And of course, Creative Waco's blog, which will have things periodically listed on there. And then, as Fiona mentioned, the official Waco app. So thank you guys so much for stopping by to talk about all of this. I hope that some folks will have a better idea of what's going on here in Waco and how to find out about it.
And there's so much. It's a playground out there.
Yes, absolutely. If you use a resource to find out about events in Waco that we didn't mention, please feel free to let us know by emailing us at info@creativewaco.org.
In the hands of a skilled artist, we can be made to see even the sky differently, but carelessness can rob us of the experience. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art on KWBU.
James Turrell is an artist interested in how we see light and space and how our eyes process what we see. Many of his works manipulate natural or artificial light in a way that causes us to see something that isn't really there, or that lets us see the familiar in a radical new way. Turrell is also an avid pilot with a lifelong fascination with the sky. Indeed, one of his most distinctive forms of work he calls the Skylight series, and they let you see the sky differently. You enter a chamber with featureless walls, and in the middle of the ceiling there's a large field of color, either a square, circle, or oval, that looks like a luminous canvas. Suddenly you realize you're actually looking at the sky itself through a precisely and sharply cut opening. The effect, when your eyes adjust, is startling. Up until a few years ago, one of Turrell's works like this was at the wonderful Nasher Sculpture Center in Dallas. Once I understood what the artist was up to in the piece, I couldn't get enough of it. All was well and good until a 40-story luxury condominium tower went up right next door. Not only did its reflective surface direct the sun's glare down into the roof-lit indoor galleries of the Nasher, the height of the tower took it directly into that pristine open space of Turrell's work. The effect of looking at a square of unbroken sky, whether the deep blue of midday or the spreading pink of evening, was shattered. The initial necessary illusion of two-dimensionality was made impossible by the building now visible in the aperture. Turrell declared the work destroyed, and the Nasher sealed it off. Now, the same thing has happened to one of the artist's works in New York City. An outpost of the Museum of Modern Art in Queens called PS1 had a Turrell called Meeting, And last month, a luxury apartment high-rise going in right next door suddenly broke into its field of vision with the same effect as the one in Dallas. The artist requested the museum close the piece. In this case, however, the tower's owner told the museum that the intrusion was only temporary and that when a pair of cranes are removed, the problem should go away. Time will tell. Episodes like this remind us how different art is and should be from our workaday world. Art is one of the few experiences that can take us out of that world just for a moment, give us a break from it, and show us that there's more to a flourishing life than the materialism that surrounds us. When a work of art is destroyed by that world, however, it reminds us that art is fragile, ephemeral even. It reminds us that we should take it seriously.
This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org. Just look for David and Art under the Programs tab.
You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM, and I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Next on the show is Samuel Thomas, co-founder of Deep in the Heart Film Festival. From March 28th through the 31st, festival goers will enjoy dozens of films from across the world, as well as some other creative events we'll hear more about. Samuel, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So before we get to talking about the festival, I would love to find out just a little bit more about you. Are you originally from Waco?
No, I'm not actually.
Okay, how'd you end up here?
So one of my best buds, we were film school buddies together. And through a roundabout way, he actually is a transplant to Waco himself. And when he got close to Waco, and about 10 years ago, he called me up and said, "Hey, I'm about an hour and a half away from where you're at. Is that close enough for us to start collaborating again?" And we started doing short films together and went on the festival circuit. And that actually leads its way to kind of where we are now, which is we had such a great time on the festival circuit that we wanted to give that experience to Waco. So he and I together have created this.
So what kind of work have you done in film in the past?
I'm actually a post-production professional in Dallas. And so I actually get hired to edit. And then, of course, he and I together, through our short films, we have actually have a business as well where clients hire us to create content. We love story. Story is just premier for us. And that's the thing that kind of carries us. We want to do the best production value we can, personally. And we want to see the best production value out there. But there's nothing that can take the place of story. It can be raw in terms of the camera angles or the audio might be a little rough. But if the story is strong, it just carries through.
Yeah. So this kind of touches on that. And I'm sure you have a lot to say about this. But can you summarize what you believe to be the qualities of a good film?
Definitely. Well, I think it's probably part of our logo of our festival, which is we seek, heartwarming, heartbreaking, heart-stopping films. And that kind of summarizes everything that we're looking for, is stuff that moves us. Stories will teach us things, but you can't be taught anything unless you have a connection to it, both with your brain and with your heart. And so we focus on that.
Do you have any films that maybe you saw when you were first starting to get into filmmaking or were really getting interested in becoming a filmmaker that kind of did that for you and that led you down this path?
Yeah, actually, so I had the back when they had these things called video stores. I actually worked in one for my last, I think my last year of high school and into college, and just got to just sample a bevy of films. And from that, one of my favorite directors came out of that to be Peter Weir. And Peter Weir did Dead Poets Society. He did Green Card. He did a variety of one. One of my favorite films that he did is a film called Fearless. And that has just stuck with me for just ever since then, because it's just such an amazing film. It's got Jeff Bridges in it, Rosie Perez. It was 1993. It was Oscar nominated for a lot of things. Didn't win, so it's easy to forget about it. But it was just a powerful film. And Peter Weir is a powerful director who really focuses on story. I think his latest one that people might remember is Master and Commander, which he hasn't done a lot lately. But back in the 90s and the 10s, he had a good heyday with that. So He's a big influence on me.
What was the last really good movie you saw?
Honestly, I would have to say it's one of the films that we chose for the festival.
Okay.
Funny enough, I'm watching it, and I have boys and my wife, and I said, hey, do you mind if we watch this together? We're getting some good input from our screeners. People are saying this should be good, and I need to watch a film, and I don't want to take up family time. Can we watch this together? And at the end of it, we were all. I mean, this is from me to my wife to my 17-year-old to my 13-year-old. We're just blown away by it at the end, and so we're very happy that it was submitted to us, and we're very happy that we get to screen it for the festival coming up.
Are you able to share what film that is?
Yes, it's called Robin.
Okay.
It's a highly inventive indie film. I believe it was Germany is its country of origin, but it's all in English.
Okay.
You'd never know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tight. It's a really good, tight moving story that you just, you know, at first glance, if you kind of read about it, you're like, what? And then you get into it, and it just takes you from the moment, you know, the first scene starts all the way through to the end.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll have to be sure to see that.
Thank you.
So you and co-founder Lewis Hunter are gearing up for your third year of Deep in the Heart Film Festival. I'm assuming you guys are pretty excited about that.
We are. This is the time where everything just starts to ramp up.
Yeah.
And we're excited and we're pumped and we're also nervous. And it's just all the emotions are coming through and all the energy and activity is just starting to really ramp up.
Yeah. So are you guys beginning to feel like you've got a pretty good handle on how to run a film festival?
I think anybody who tries their hand at anything never really feels like an expert.
Yeah.
But I will say we are so stoked about this third year because we know we have a lot of great films that are coming through. So we feel like we've got a lot of good meat there.
Yeah.
But then we also have a lot of great, the parties and the panels and everything else that we're bringing together to really fill out what makes a good film festival. That's all starting to come together as well. Sponsorships are coming in, which is great. Our collaborations with the Hippodrome are amazing. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Cultivate 712 and other sponsors in the area. So we have just been actually very excited about how things are just starting to line up and the cohesiveness that's coming along.
So can you just give us just like a very, you know, logistical kind of view of the festival? You know, what can people expect to see?
Mm-hmm.
How much tickets will be? Things of that nature.
Yeah, definitely. I'll start with tickets. So we offer block screenings, and these block screenings cover either a feature film block or covers a short film block. And the way our short film blocks are laid out is we have what we call an around the world scenario. So we don't have a drama block. We don't have a documentary block because, honestly, if you ask me, hey, you want to go see this drama film, I hear the word drama. I tend to kind of tune that out.
Sure.
But the funny enough thing, going back to the Peter Weir thing, is my favorite film is a drama. And mm-hmm. I'd never think of that because I usually think of myself as a comedy guy or an action guy. So we don't want that to deter anybody. We want to have an around-the-world scenario, and we basically put our blocks in terms of themes. For instance, last year we had a theme called Lies, and it was about somebody was telling a lie to somebody, and it could have been a comedy, it could have been a documentary, it could have been a drama, and it just how it all played out. And this year I don't have the blocks in front of me, but our programming team has come up again with about 10 to 15 theme blocks as well for short films. And then, of course, we have the feature film blocks as well. Those are all individual tickets for those will be $8. And then we have a VIP pass that we have, which gets you into every single screening block, features, shorts, as well as all the parties and the panels. And basically anything the filmmaker is going to be at, that is something that the VIP pass allows the public to have access to as well, which is great because the connectivity with the filmmakers is a big part of what makes a film festival great, is that not only do you get to see these films that really aren't showing anywhere else. I mean, we don't choose films that are streaming online. We don't choose films that you can see on YouTube. These are films that there's an exclusivity to. They're here, they're for the festival, and not only that, but the filmmakers will be there. We have this great set of filmmakers that come. We probably have about 55% of all of our filmmakers attend. Wow. And considering we're an international film festival, mm-hmm. that's really saying something.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love everything you've just said. I've been to a few festivals myself, and you know, especially I think whenever you're moving into a community like Waco, where film festivals are not necessarily something that a lot of people here have experienced, it's mm-hmm. great whenever you have the producers and the directors and whatnot there to be able to answer questions, especially if it's, you know, a quirky yeah. film festival film where people are like, what the heck did I just watch? You know? So I think that's great.
Yeah.
So what are some of the most important things that you guys have learned in the past couple of years of doing film festivals?
What have we learned in the past couple of years? It's more like what we're trying to help educate people on, which is, I think what we learned, and even from the start, we sort of felt this, and it's continually something that we deal with, which is people just don't really realize what a film festival is. They think that it's highbrow films, it's stuff that, you know, you'd mentioned quirky, and yeah, sure, there's a couple of quirky films, but again, you know, we are the same kind of people who like to go to the Cineplex and watch, you know, Black Panther or, you know, the fourth remake of A Star Is Born.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, we still enjoy those. And so it's like, you know, what we enjoy is, again, it goes back to a good story. So we're really wanting to educate the public and say, look, you want to have a connectivity to something. Let me just let you understand that it's a film. Mm-hmm. It's a story. And it's honestly, it's a really good story. And for our feature films, it might be coming from a different place that you're not used to, but you're still going to connect to the story. Again, you know, with Robin, my 13-year-old adored it. You know, this is a kid who's, you know, he's a Marvel nut, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So for him to be able to connect to it is saying something. And that's what we want to do. We want the people to understand, hey, you come here, you're going to enjoy these films. And honestly, for the short film blocks, you know, these films are about 10 minutes long, 15 minutes long. If there's one you don't like, just wait 15 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be over.
It'll be over, and the next one will come along, and more than likely, you'll do it. Again, we like to have that around-the-world scenario to where somebody is going to enjoy that block,
sure.
At least the majority of the block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you tell us if there are any new elements of the festival that people will be able to expect this year?
Mm-hmm. So every year we try to focus on kind of a different part of the industry. And this year, one of the big things we're focusing on is the acting aspect. And not just acting as, oh, look at these actors and what they can do, but the business side of things. Especially in this area, we've got a lot of people who are interested in acting as a career. And we want to encourage that. And so we are actually pulling in casting directors and working actors from around Texas, from Dallas, from Austin, and various other places around Texas, and pulling them in. And we're basically going to have an education panel that really helps locals here who are interested in that as a career, or in that as a, you know, even just a something to pursue, that they can learn things and learn the business side of things and learn how to be most effective in that path.
That's great. I think one of my favorite things is the fact that you guys do make it such an educational experience rather than one that's just, you know, entertainment based. Yeah. So, you know, after several years of organizing this event, and we've talked about this a little bit already, but what do you think that the film festival brings to the Waco community that other creative events don't?
Essentially, the big thing is we certainly bring films mm-hmm. that you won't see anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that can be stated enough, because there's plenty of great content out there. And there's stuff that, again, even we as building the festival ourselves, we just never knew was out there. And we're continually surprised and pleased about what we're getting. In fact, one of the ones that we're screening it's a short film. It's actually on the Oscars short list.
Oh, wow.
And they submitted to us.
Yeah.
And so that feels pretty good. It's like, okay, they respected us enough to submit to us. And the film is amazing. And it's showing on one of our Saturday blocks, I think our 5 o'clock Saturday block. And it's called Caroline. And it just blows me away. It blew everyone away at the screening block. And so it's just nice and solid. So one of the big things that we really want, you know, that we really want people to see, This is what it's here for. This is the thing that you're going to get here that you're just not going to get anywhere else.
Sure.
Because, you know, by the time this does roll around for streaming, sure, you can watch it on your phone, but you're not getting to watch it on a nice big screen.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting to watch it with, you know, a crowd around you experiencing everything that happens when you go sit and watch a movie with friends and other audience members.
So is there a particular part of the festival that you're most excited about this year?
No, I can't say because all of it just seems so strong this year.
Yeah.
Everything's really good from the selections to the panels, the educational panels. There's a I can't really say much about it, but we have this great camera panel that I can't even say anything about it. But it's we're still working out the details. But once it gets pulled off, it's going to be really awesome. And it's just such a plus. And then, of course, all the parties are going to be amazing. We have great sponsors who are donating, you know, food and beverages and everything. It's going to be an amazing, fun time.
So what's your dream for the future of Deep in the Heart? You know, is there a point at which you'll know this is, you know, we've done the full breadth of what we came here to do?
Wow. Yeah, we're talking about a lot of personal goals and a lot of goals between Lewis and I and our team. Yeah. And one of the big things is we really want our community to enjoy what we're doing. And I think we'll feel like we've made it if we feel like the community has responded to us, you know, in such a powerful way to know that, hey, we're doing the right thing. We're going in the right direction. And for us, we feel that means simply bringing quality to the table in every aspect of the festival, whether that be the screenings, whether that be the events around it. And we, again, in terms of long-term goals, obviously we want growth. We want to, you know, to keep reaching out, and not just to the Waco community, but to the entire Central Texas community. We're not just here for Waco. We're here for all of Central Texas. And we want to have people, when they hear the term Deep in the Heart Film Festival, when they hear our name, that when they think of that, they know that it's quality, that what they're going to see is going to entertain them and educate them and just make them just happy to be a part of it.
I really do hope that you guys, you know, are able to continue to grow. It seems like it's grown even in the past few years.
It really has, yeah.
Cool. Where can listeners go to see all the things that will be happening at the festival this year, as well as the place to purchase tickets?
So purchasing tickets, you can, again, just go straight to our website, deepintheheartff.com, I believe. So they can go there for all the information, and it'll branch them out to where our tickets are and everything like that. Our lineup, we are about to announce that. I don't want to give a specific date, but it's coming on a certain lovely holiday, very very soon from now, that we plan to announce our lineup, and that's going to also kind of include the films that we've accepted, and then we'll do nominations shortly after that as well, and then the whole schedule, the panels and everything, will be shortly after that as well.
All right, that sounds great, Samuel. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me.
The third annual Deep in the Heart Film Festival will run from March 28th through 31st at the Waco Hippodrome and a couple doors down at Cultivate 712. Visit deepintheheartff.com to purchase tickets and see a full calendar of events at the festival. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org, or you can visit creativewaco.org/blog for additional content about the festival. Catch the next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on Friday, March 22nd. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.